Hi, and welcome to another episode of Much Talk About Nothing, a show about movies, music, and Legos. As always, I'm your host, Grant Ingram, and today, joining me, it is my bearded co-host, Grace Gillen. How are you doing, Grant?
I'm doing good, and joining us today is Dave Holder, who is in Australia, and he has worked with Legoland in Australia as their master designer in the past, worked with Brigger, and has done some other stuff that he can't talk about.
Yeah, he's been really awesome. As always, this episode is brought to you by Dark Fusion Systems. Go check them out. They were nice enough to send us these really awesome desk mats, which just look amazing. They're massive, too. Like, I mean, like 3 feet long. They're incredible. Go check them out and let them know that we sent you if they ask. You can find them at darkfusionsystems.com. Also, should mention, this episode is also brought to you by Bricker Builds. You can check out their website, brickerbuilds.com, and use our promo code, MuchTalkLego, for 5% off your order. It is fantastic. And you can hear Dave talk about some of the models he designed without further ado. So, Mr. Holder, how are you doing today? Everything going well over in Australia?
Things are going great. It's currently 10.09 p.m., and for you guys, it's 6.09 a.m., I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the day is wrapping up.
Gotta love time zones.
Yes, we're living in the future. I'll let you know of the good stock tips and who to bet on for the sports.
Right, and if everything catches on fire, I would appreciate a heads up. Yeah. So, how did you get into like Lego designing? What was that process?
For me, it was a lot of luck. I think with a lot of these types of like dream job-esque positions that people kind of like, well, that's so amazing that you get to do this type of stuff. For me, my kind of like Lego designing journey started when I saw an ad on Facebook 8 years ago now, wanting casual Lego builders to help build displays for in-store displays for Christmas and stuff like that, you know, like the big ones you see in, you know, shopping centers of like, you know, big statues or big, you know, Christmas themed builds. So it was really me just responding to a help wanted ad to build Lego. And I had kind of been into Lego a little bit. I was really only just like a minifigure collector at the time because, you know, they were pretty cheap. And this was back in the days of like series one and two minifigs, like years and years and years ago. I was like, sure, I like Lego. Lego minifigs are fun. And then actually managed to get a job working with Ryan the Brickman, who's Australia's Lego certified professional, and started casually with him, and we worked on some, you know, big Christmas displays and stuff together, and that's essentially what started my journey into Lego design.
That is a crazy, I mean, it sounds like a lot of luck, but I mean that's just crazy.
Definitely a lot of luck, but I think you can't teach attitude, but you can teach skills. So I think I went in with the right attitude, and that's what allowed me to kind of keep progressing and wanting to learn within the role, as opposed to kind of treating it like, you know, just some casual job. It's like, cool, I'm going to get here, you know, in here and learn as much as I can. And that's where it took off for me, I think.
It really seems to have worked out. So you were building like these big Christmas displays. How does that kind of transfer into your work with, like, I know you worked with Bricker, with like the, like the Italian plumber statue.
Yes. Those good old Italian plumbers.
Right. They're the best.
Always up to no good.
Yep. And then I guess most recently, the Angry Mushroom, and I'm forgetting what they call the Thwomp.
The Angry Block. Everything, those Italian plumbers come up against a lot of angry things in their day-to-day life, you know, bombs, angry mushrooms, angry blocks. I think the next one might be an angry ghost. Who knows?
Oh, no. Or an angry giant turtle, something like that.
Totally.
There's angry mushroom, angry block, Italian plumber.
And I think the Italian Ghostbuster. So how did that kind of, I'm guessing it scaled down for like the Christmas displays?
I guess in both ways. So the models that I'm doing now for Bricker and the ones that I originally started doing for myself, are smaller than the stuff that I was doing for those Christmas displays. One of the Christmas displays was a 10 meter tall Christmas tree, so made out of Duplo and absolutely huge, you know, 250 to 300,000 parts just for this one model. And it took seven of us about a month full time to build. So, you know, do some quick maths, like, you know, 1,000 hours minimum of work. And then, you know, all the industrial engineering that goes into even supporting a model that big. So obviously the models I'm doing myself are a lot smaller, but with something, the difference between those large scale projects and the one that I'm doing now is the ones I'm doing now, I fully take on board myself and I'm designing and creating these from scratch. Whereas when you're working with such a big project, you've got a whole team of designers who are working on those giant sculptures and, you know, giant minifig statues and, you know, all different manners of, you know, those large brick built sculptures you see in Legolands and in shopping centers. And, you know, as I said, those have a whole team of designers that work on creating them. And so with the things that I'm doing myself, I'm having to take on that process now. So while they're smaller, it's me handling most like, you know, the design process from the start. And then as it kind of the project evolves, of course, I get feedback from people in Bricker or, you know, other Lego designers that I trust on their feedback and opinions. And, you know, the projects do develop a little bit, but the big difference is that I'm starting them from scratch.
That is, it sounds like a massive undertaking.
It can be, yeah.
So do you have sorry to cut you off, Graham, but do you have like a software that you use, or do you just like get pieces and just start building and designing that way?
It kind of depends. The two models that we just released through Bricker that I worked on, the Angry Mushroom and the Angry Block, those were two very completely different project styles. So in terms of a software, Chris, who started Bricker Builds, he is a software engineer, and he has a piece of software that you can help to use sculpt shapes, like using Lego. So if you kind of create mushroomish shapes, you can put it through this software and it will give you a rough guide. So it doesn't tell you what to build or how to build it or adding in all those extra details. It just gives you a bit of a guide that you can follow to get the shaping correct, which is quite important when dealing with characters and stuff that are so iconic and so well known. Like, you need to kind of nail those proportions. So there is a software element used to scale them, but, you know, software is only so limiting. You then have to actually translate what you're looking at into essentially real life Lego objects. So something like the Angry Mushroom, yeah, we would use a software to get some rough modeling. However, the Angry Block model was complete from scratch, because it's not really a studs up type model that's kind of follows that traditional Lego land, you know, large sculpture thing of mainly just bricks. This one was kind of just built from the ground up, with like a lot of slopes and decorative pieces. There's pretty much not a single stud on the model except for at the top. So two very different processes. It just kind of depends on what model I'm working on. Same process with the Master Sword model that we've released through Bricker as well. That was just look at some reference images and then just start. Yeah.
That's just really cool. I didn't realize that you guys had like your own specialized software for that, like the shaping.
Yeah.
That.
So Chris, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was just going to say that's like really impressive, just that he was able to do that.
Yeah, there are a couple of ones that kind of exist. A lot of them actually started to come about when Minecraft really became very popular. You know, you've probably seen the crazy things that people can build in Minecraft. Mm-hmm. So they use these same type of 3D generators to help create shapes to kind of, you know, get them as perfect as possible. Because as you can imagine, it's very, very difficult to just start building something, you know, that's sometimes close to a meter tall, or, you know, thousands upon thousands of bricks by just starting to press those first few bricks. So using some sculpting software definitely helps. And yeah, Chris developed his own, which has been super helpful. And I've used other ones in the past that are all relatively similar, but because Chris from Bricker designed his own, we use that one now.
Right. Boss pays you to use the software.
Yeah.
And like, for good reference, here we have one of the Pokeballs, and just this shape of it is just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't imagine you could get a better shape out of it with the Legos than what y'all did.
We try. So the Pokeball, we didn't use any software or anything for. That was just a free build, essentially, using, you know, that snot ball technique. So once you've kind of got that snot ball technique down, you can translate it, you know, multiple ways to Pokeballs or like lots of spherical shapes that people use in their Lego builds. Yeah.
So you actually designed the Pokeball, correct?
Yeah. Like, based, like, you know, I can't take, you know, 100% credit, because that snot ball design has kind of existed for many years in the Lego community. It was just kind of translating it, you know, a well-known design aesthetic, you know, and then adding in the Pokeball colors and making those adjustments. So some of them are pretty tricky. Like the Master Ball that we have has all different colors. It has like an M built into it. So it's got like clips and hinges and a whole bunch of stuff that kind of gets it to where it needs to be to look like the Master Ball, but still kind of keeping in those Lego snot ball principles the whole time. Yeah.
Oh, that's just really cool. So you mentioned Legoland. You had a little, you have like history working there, right?
Yeah.
Just generally, what was that like?
That was a real cool experience. And again, very lucky to have gotten a job there. So I had been working for Brickman, who's the Australian judge for Lego Masters, but that was just in a very casual capacity, and then ended up finishing work up there because I needed to work full time to, you know, get some money and just kind of add into that day-to-day grind. And then all of a sudden, the Legoland brand came to Australia for the first time, because there had never been any Legolands in Australia. There'd never been any Lego stores, and then all of a sudden, the company that runs the Legoland franchise called Merlin decided that they wanted to expand in Australia. And in order to kind of promote that and bring a lot of excitement around to that brand, they held a nationwide competition looking for their first master model builder. And I was like, cool, this is something, you know, I got, I guess, lucky the first time that I was introduced into the working world of Lego. I'm like, look, I've got the experience. There's not that many people in Australia who've got that level of experience. I think I had the right attitude of like that can-do learning attitude to take that role on board. So when applications opened for Legoland's Master Model Builder, I applied for that. I went like really hard with my application process, like making like a stop motion video and a whole bunch of just crazy amounts of effort, because I knew that, like, you know, thousands of people are going to be applying for this job. So I had to do something to kind of stand out as best I could, and then made it into the interview, which was essentially a 2-day Lego building competition that was held in like a shopping center to the public. And over 2 days, you competed in all these different Lego challenges, not too dissimilar to something like on Lego Masters. And very luckily managed to win that, and then that kind of crowned me the Lego Master Model Builder for the first Legoland in Australia. Yeah,
that is awesome. That's just a heck of a story.
Yeah, it was quite surreal, actually, because I knew that there were going to be some incredibly talented builders there, and probably people, honestly, who were better than me at the time. But I think the thing that I really brought was a combination of, I guess, a level of skill, but also an attitude of wanting to kind of come in and really own that position. Because first in Australia, you know, the Legoland brand had not been around in Australia before. Like, I know that you guys got your theme parks in like Florida and California, mm-hmm. and you got Lego stores everywhere. Lego, until that launched in Melbourne in 2017, there wasn't a single Lego store in the whole of Australia. You can buy Lego at places like Target and Kmart, but it was never that kind of like that core brand that you would see in shopping centers. So it was really, really, really a big change for the company. So it was really quite exciting. It was really cool to be kind of a part of the way that brand launched within Australia. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the first time it might've been luck, but it sounds like there's a lot of skill involved with getting the Legoland position.
Look, the Probably like maybe a little bit, but again, it's I for me, I think it was just having a positive attitude. Because I think if you go into something with the best intentions and if your heart's in the right place, then usually it'll kind of guide you to where, to where it's supposed to be. And it just so happened that, right place, right time. It was a difficult decision actually, because I was not actually going to enter the competition, because I was playing in a band at the time, and we're actually on tour right in the middle of when this competition was being held, and I was in another state, and I didn't want to cancel this show, so I was like, look, I probably won't get it, so I think I might just pull out of the competition. And then I had a few friends that were like, no, you really should go for it. This could be an opportunity of a lifetime. So much to my bandmates' dismay, I cancelled one of our biggest shows that we had for the tour to fly down to my home state, Melbourne, to enter in this Lego competition. And they were just like very frustrated, like, dude, why are you, no, you're leaving us high and dry. We've got this massive show. And but it all paid off in the end. So luckily that would have been really, really pissed off if I had not won. So they were, slightly redeimed
Yeah, at least now you
from
can look
there.
back and go, well, I won it.
It was quite good for me. I guess it kind of really shifted my like career path, I guess. Working casually, building Christmas displays is one thing. Going to, a master model builder position at a Legoland is much different.
What does that entail, like being a master model builder? Are you designing everything, or how does that work?
It's pretty layered. I guess one thing is that it's not simply just building every single day. Like you don't go to work and you just build all the time. In essence, the position is more of like a brand ambassador for the Legoland brand in the state that you are in. So a lot of things that I would do were like TV appearances for kids shows, or for things like news crosses, or if there was some kind of Lego event happening, like a big expo or an anniversary or the launch of a big product. Lego is always popular in school holidays and things like that, so you'd kind of do little media crosses of fun things to do for kids in the school holidays, running events. It was to design models for the attraction, usually for special events. A lot of the stuff that I would be working on was not just like typical, just like a building or a model or whatever. It would usually have something to do with a community event. Like for example, one year I built a life-size guide dog, like seeing eye dog, for a donation for our local guide dog foundation. And then there was a raffle run for naming rights for the dog, for example. Or we would do competitions where we'd get local schools to draw or create or kind of craft what they think their school means to them, and then the entry that was the best would have their school made out of Lego. A lot of things like that. I had an office in the middle of Legoland that had big double windows. So anytime I was building anything, guests would come through the attraction who are visiting just to kind of see, go on the rides and check out the displays. They'd come up to the window where I was working and see what I was working on, and just kind of have a chat. So it was a pretty multi-layered position that really could vary like day to day quite a lot. Yeah,
It sounds like the job of a lifetime. Like it sounds awesome.
it's a lot. Like it's definitely different to what I think a lot of people expect. But for me, it was really good because the variety that the Legoland Master Builder position gave was really good for the way that I work, like doing lots of interesting things all at once. I know for some people who applied for the job in my rounds and stuff, who got through to the finale, were like, oh, so can I start a project and then maybe kind of like take it home and work on it during the week and then bring it in on the Friday and then do a project the week after. It's really not just about building a model and then displaying it, and then that's kind of the end. It's about being there as part of the experience for especially Lego mad kids who want to come to Legoland and talk to someone whose job it is to build Lego.
Yeah. And like, what would you say to those kids? You've talked a lot about attitude, but do you have any other advice to those kids who, want to get into professional building?
For kids, I think it can be tricky because kids' attitudes towards things can change a lot. I think it's pretty rare, usually, for kids from 5 to 8 to end up in a job, I guess, that, you know, that they can see a career from after they've gone, you know, through high school and university and, you know, and tried to figure out what they want to do. So for little kids, they're like, oh, I want my job to be a Lego. Usually I'd say, like, just enjoy it for now, like, just have fun with it. Because I think from a young age, if they think that it's like, I want that to be my job, it can get not necessarily pressure, but it kind of can take the fun away from a little bit. Because when kids are young, you know, I think that it's best that they use Lego as a creative tool to learn and develop and have fun. And then if it's something that they want to look at in later life and they're still super into it, then it's kind of learning, you know, various levels of industrial design or art or something, and learning those skills and using Lego as the medium, I guess.
That's something I've never really thought about with the industrial designing. I guess you have to structure these things.
A little bit, yeah. Like, you know, a lot of the people that I've met through, like, the Lego Master Builder community, pretty much everyone has a different origin story. Like, my studies and stuff through uni were music. So even though it wasn't like a hands-on art or technical design, I feel like I developed a lot of those creative skills through an expression through music, I think, and then was just able to apply that, like, musical creativity into something that just happened to be Lego.
Yeah, that's really neat. Well, I'm out of questions, Grant. Do you have anything?
Yeah, so I've been to the Legoland in Florida. I actually lived a couple hours from it until a couple months ago. What was some of the stuff that, like, y'all designed for the Legoland, and did you have some things about it that you enjoyed more than others?
Yeah, totally. With the big theme parks, they have a huge model team. Like, they sometimes have up to like 10 or 12 employees and of varying levels. So, you know, you'll have senior designers, and then you'll have junior builders and things like that. So most people that come in often are given, I guess, not instructions, but like design schematics of builds that they need to create. And then they'll have a lead designer actually managing like what they're building and those expectations, because it does take quite a long time to learn how to build to a Legoland standard, I guess. Like, there's a very specific style. Like, when you go to all the different Legolands, you kind of, even though all the buildings are different, they have like a similar theme to them. So it does take time, I guess, to definitely, you know, find your footing and figure out how to do that. And then as you get more experienced, you get more models that it's like, hey, we need you to design this. We trust that you now have the skills to design X building or X model or, you know, X particular display piece, for example. So for me, when I first started Legoland, like, the big displays and stuff had all been done by the model teams overseas. Like, obviously, it's a huge undertaking. It's like 1,500 hours of building, and, you know, a million plus bricks, 3 million bricks or something like that, and these huge displays that they have in the Legoland. So me coming in, you know, like, all happy-go-lucky, I'm like, yeah, let's do this. And like, the buildings are already kind of there, but you help. My first introduction to that Legoland was helping to install all the buildings. So, like, you know, we're going to teach you how to actually, once a huge Lego model is built, how do you install it? Like, you know, through, sometimes they have metal supports, or they might, you know, need to be glued, or, you know, all manner of different things that happen to make Lego kind of work in like a practical display sense. So it's a slow introduction. And I kind of would often say that it was very similar to going to like Lego University for me. Like, you've got an idea of what you're going to learn, and you kind of have the attitude and you're super excited. You're like, yeah, I got into this course that I know a lot about, but I want to learn so much more. Over the 3 years that I was there, that was me essentially going to Lego University and learning as much as I possibly could.
Yeah, and I imagine that the industrial design comes in more when you get to that scale of, how do we have these million pieces models, and how do we support them and make it look correct versus a Pokeball, where you don't necessarily need much industrial design to keep a Pokeball together.
Yeah, luckily it's something that a lot of people can learn while they're doing the job, I guess. Like, you don't need to it's getting a bit late, you know. You don't need to necessarily have all of those skills when you go into the role, but it's something that you are introduced to over time, mainly through just practical on-job experience. But usually the people who do end up in these positions have, I guess, the creative minds that they can pick up these types of things quite quickly. So luckily for me, a lot of it started to make sense very quickly on, you know, how you support builds and how you, you know, make them, and, you know, Lego going to let, you know, together, you know, clicking in, you know, you just have to extrapolate that out a little bit. And it's like, cool, now I'm using some, you know, metal frameworks, or, you know, building things on a much bigger scale, or, you know, I need to put these types of supports in this build to, you know, to transport it around for, you know, a raffle or some kind of exhibition. So a lot of that you can learn over time. And that's why I think I was kind of lucky, because I had the, I guess, the attitude to want to go in and learn all of this stuff. And it just happened to be that Lego was the catalyst to push all that forward.
That's incredible. So would you say you've graduated Lego University at this point?
I hope so. I would like, yes, that's a good way to put it. I would like to think that I've, you know, after starting my Lego journey 8 years ago, that I have probably now got some qualification from Lego University. I would hope.
At least the Bachelor's of General Studies.
Yeah. Bachelor of General 2x4 brick clicking or something along those lines. Yeah.
All right, so my next question is, so you were with Legoland, how did you end up becoming involved with Bricker after that?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. So at Legoland, you're building all these like large scale models, which is something that does take a quite a long time to develop experience and stuff in. It was still a bit of time, even after having worked with Ryan, the Brickman in Melbourne, and being at Legoland for a little bit, before you kind of are confident to kind of tackle those models yourself. And I had kind of started doing them. I was doing some Pokemon models just kind of for myself. And I saw that Chris, who started Bricker, and another guy, Adam, had been posting some photos on Instagram and stuff, and you know, they've got a massive response, like rightly so, because the models and stuff they were working on were really quite awesome. And after kind of following their page for a little bit and seeing them, you know, post more like 3D models of helmets and Star Wars stuff, they announced that they were going to start releasing instructions for some of their helmets that they designed, and they're releasing through this platform they had decided to call Bricker Builds. And I just sent them a message one day. I was like, hey, I noticed that you're doing these life-size Lego sculptures that are very similar to the ones from Legoland. I've actually been working at Legoland and, you know, have some models that I think that I could, you know, help work with and put up on the platform. And then after a little bit of kind of like talking on like Instagram, and then, you know, doing some Zoom calls and Discord chats and things like that, we decided to move forward and add some of the models that I had been working on to the platform, which initially was the Pikachu model, and had a massive, very welcome introduction and launch on the Bricker page. And then it kind of just like kept developing from there. So originally we were kind of like developing models separately, but then, you know, as all good partnerships are, you know, very strong collaboration process, and then we would all work together on the developing these models from like Pokemon to Star Wars to Italian brothers and their angry blocks, amongst other things. Now there's a, you know, and through that, you know, the page has, you know, developed really well, and, you know, we've got a really good team of people that work together to kind of release these models. And it just allows us to kind of share our craft, I guess, with people who might not have the skills or the time to get the experience in building models like the ones that we released through Bricker. So it's really nice to, you know, share the, share our, I guess, passion for Lego with other people.
The models I've built from you guys are just crazy impressive. And
yeah, I've got which batarangs are... back here from Tyler. Those are very nice.
Yeah, right.
It's been a lot of fun. I'm very glad you guys did it. So you were kind of the reason they got into the Nintendo stuff, or I guess the Nintendonk stuff.
Very good. The Nintendo stuff has video games and stuff have always been like a big part of my kind of, you know, childhood and upbringing, and also out of life as well. You know, like I'm a big Nintendork, I guess. My introduction into Bricka was the Pikachu model. And then we did Eevee. Pikachu was very popular, Eevee also very popular. But then we did the Italian plumber model, and then that took it to a whole nother level. Like I didn't realize how obsessed people were with those characters until we released this model, and then it got people really, really excited. I got a lot of very positive feedback from that model, and when people are kind of building it themselves, the encouragement that we get from people that build these models and say, I really love it. You know, they can see the amount of time that we put into these models, which is literally hundreds of hours, you know, from initial concept to, you know, design to even getting the instructions and even all the creative content we do around them, like taking the photos that do it justice and the quick build videos and things like that. So people seem to now really appreciate having those items in their collection. So it kind of encourages us to keep developing and designing these fun, exciting models.
Yeah, and I mean they're really well designed. Like people seem to love them, and I mean you know they love them when they're willing to part with Lego money in order to
when they're using their Lego money to buy a custom model. You know, it's quite it's quite a nice statement from people to kind of, you know, trust the work that we do and want to have, you know, a custom model that's not done by, you know, the big, huge corporation that is Lego, but done by essentially, you know, a bunch of passionate fans and designers. It's always really nice when we release a model and get a lot of feedback, usually positive.
Yeah, I've not seen anything negative coming your way. So Grant, do you have anything else before we kind of wrap up?
What's some of the stuff, like, do you have stuff like that you just designed for yourself? Like you mentioned the Pikachu smart stuff, but have you ever just been like, I want to make this out of Legos and then just done it because you just wanted it?
I used to a lot more. My time is somewhat limited these days with a number of different Lego projects kind of going on at any given time. There will be some stuff that I am just doing off my own back that probably won't make it onto Bricka because it's just small models. Like I'm working on some Transformers and stuff at the moment that are kind of scaling with that Optimus Prime that Lego officially released. So that was a kind of cool catalyst for me to do some Transformer stuff. But usually I do get a lot of building done in my own time for things. So building a lot and building a lot of stuff all the time. So the stuff that ends up on Bricka is only like a small portion of the stuff that I do. It just fits into Bricka's kind of branding of these, you know, large Legoland-esque kind of sculptures and statues. So still plenty of stuff I do for myself. And then, you know, the Bricka stuff is just kind of the things that I kind of posted, like, you know, do big posts and stuff about because it's, you know, relevant to what people are interested, especially for those who follow me on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, I happen to follow you on Instagram for like 3 or 4 months. Always look forward to seeing kind of what you post. I like the Pokemon room with like the, is it the mud? I don't remember the name, the giant mud rock thing with that.
Geodude.
I was going to say Mudkarp for some stupid reason.
You
know, I grew up on Pokemon now. I'm just incredibly impressed by what you've been able to do there. Hope to see more.
Yeah. There's a lot of Pokemon that won't really ever end up on Bricka because of either cost or size or, you know, not being super popular. But yeah, I've got heaps of Pokemon at home that I've done outside of the platform that I just feel like doing. Like I've done Ditto and I've done Geodude and Togepi and, you know, I've got Bulbasaur and Squirtle, which, you know, will hopefully eventually make themselves to the Bricka platform.
I think those and Charmander, if you could do a Charmander, those would be very popular.
Well, Charmander's done. Oh, Charmander yeah, we released yeah. this year. So it's Pikachu, Charmander, and Eevee are the ones up on the Bricker okay. platform at the moment. And then I've got a bunch of others that, yeah, if I get a big quantity of bricks, I just kind of, you know, build them for myself. And what else we got? Like a Cubone and a Diglett. Like, you know, just bits and pieces that, you know, if I get some inspiration, I kind of not throw them together because they take a very long time to design and build. But yeah, there is a lot of stuff that I do just for myself. Yeah.
That is really awesome. Well, do you have anything you'd like to plug while we're here?
I guess always, you know, Instagram is great for people who are in the Lego community because it's very visual. It's got like a very, you know, a lot of very easy share functions. And, you know, I'm not always about like, you know, having to try and do the hard sell, but, you know, I enjoy doing, you know, the social media posts and enjoy sharing the stuff that I do. So, you know, if people enjoy it as well, you know, those follows are always appreciated, I guess, to, you know, help build that community, not just for myself, but just the Lego community and stuff in general. And, you know, just like this chat I'm having with you guys, you know, it just kind of came from a Instagram message and, you know, connecting with like-minded people all around the world is kind of the best thing you can get out of these social media platforms and having a fun time and, you know, using as a great platform to share your social interests with, yeah, other like-minded people around the world.
Yeah. So what's your handle there?
It is very simple. It's my name, which is just Dave_Holder_.
Awesome. And yeah, everybody give him a follow there and make sure to check out his work with Bricker Builds and use our code. So thank you so much to Mr. Holder for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure. Grant, where can the people follow you?
I mean, I have an Instagram. I'm not on it, but if you follow me, it's Grant_Skilland. You can see my name in the bottom corner and how to spell it. If you send me a follow request, I'll eventually say yes when I get back on Instagram.
Yep. You and in the meantime, you can follow him off cliffs. He does that a lot. You can follow me at the Grant Ingram everywhere. I'm not on Twitter much, but it does exist. And then you can follow us at Much Talk About Nothing on Instagram and at MTAN Podcast on Twitter. Go give Dave a follow at Dave_Holder_. He is a lot of fun on Instagram. He does a lot of stuff. It's really cool. And if you're going to go buy from Bricker Builds, which go buy from Bricker Builds, make sure to use our promo code Much Talk Lego for 5% off your order. And it lets them know that we sent you. And go check out Dark Fusion LLC Dark Fusion Systems. Rather, as always, they are fantastic and everything they've got is super high quality and made in the USA. So without further ado, for Dave and Grant, I've been Grant and we will see you next week.